Ahoy, mateys! Welcome to the GameBuoy.org video game podcast, your twice-monthly port of call for gaming news and views that maybe aren't on your radar, but most definitely should be. I'm your host, Captain Spike, and with me, as always, is First Mate Slagkick.
Yarr!
Today is May 18th, 2013, and this is episode 28, Shit Games, or the E.T. episode.
Ooh, you took it there.
Yep. Well, you know, in honor of the upcoming 30th anniversary of the video game market crash, we here at Game Buoy Studios thought that it would be fun to sort of do a light and sort of fluffy episode about, you know, just some really awful games. We are going to try and keep things running as smoothly and as cleanly as possible. We will try not to be super not safe for work. But we are probably going to be using the shit word quite a few times. That's your warning. In addition, please also be aware that we are going to be drinking as we talk tonight, because some of these games are awful. So, bottoms up, let's get a little tipsy, and talk about some awful, awful games. But first, let's follow up on a few more recently visited and revisited topics.
I assume you want to take this first one, don't you?
As a matter of fact, I do. Square Enix, you all may recall, a few months ago announced that Kingdom Hearts HD 1.5 Remix would be coming to the U.S. and, you know, Europe as well. We now have dates for this release. That's going to be September 10th for North America and September 13th for the European regions.
I want it to be September already.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I just have to say, I don't want to spend too much time on this unless you have more to say, but I'm a little surprised that we're seeing them so fast. I was a little worried we might not see them until next year or something, so
yeah, well,
I'm
I mean,
very
this
pleased.
This is still only HD Remix 1.5, which admittedly is a couple games, but translation work's already been done for this stuff. I'm a little surprised because by the time it comes out, it'll have been out in Japan for like 6 months already, which is the normal time window for Kingdom Hearts games these days. But I guess I just kind of expected it a little faster on this one.
That's kind of interesting because I always used to think of Square Enix, well, Square specifically, as taking forever to localize things, like Final Fantasy XII.
Yeah, and whatever you just knocked over, shame on you.
That was just my mouse.
Good, you know. I wasn't going to tell everyone out there playing the at-home version of Game Buoy with us this week, but you have sort of taken the mantle from Seawolf Jason as most spillingest on the poop deck.
Can we clarify that I just filled a beer and didn't shit all over the place?
Yes, that's a fair
point. We're already off to a good start here, aren't we?
Apparently, yeah.
Alrighty.
Why don't you take this next follow-up for
okay,
me?
Okay, so...
I'm going to get you a towel.
Thanks. So, this is a happy rumor. Well, it's not a rumor, really, but there was a bug in the Tomodachi collection that we talked about a while back that made gay marriage possible, unfortunately.
And this is, of course, the almost like Animal Crossing Lite Nintendo.
In fact, the new title is called Tomodachi Collection New Life, which is very similar to Animal Crossing New Leaf. They're kind of almost...
sister series.
Kind of. So anyways, unfortunately for lesbians, you cannot have girls marrying each other in this. But there was a bug that enabled boy me's to get married. And...
oh my god, I want to get this game and make my me marry another dude.
Too bad, because Nintendo's patching the bug.
Aw. Well, boo. That's sad.
And the thing that's kind of a little shady, and to be fair... this is translation from the Japanese.
Uh-huh.
The Japanese said, Ningen kankei ga okashiku naru, which means...
it gives me life every time you try to read things
I know,
in
that's
Japanese,
why I did that.
Bro.
But the thing is that the translation is, human relations become strange.
Well, you know, the thing is, I appreciate that the entire internet is like, QQQQQQQQ, that, you know, they're basically calling gay relations strange, but... from a programming perspective, I'm pretty sure they just mean that, you know, people are acting not as intended. Exactly. So, I don't know. I don't mean to defend Nintendo. I do defend Nintendo a lot. But I think this is probably a little more, you know, this is a bug. The game's not working how it's designed. We got to fix that. They did the same thing for Mario Kart, and people complained then because you could glitch out levels and finish whole races in like 5 seconds.
Hmm.
So whatever. At least the way Nintendo does patches, they're optional. So if you want to keep your broken gay marriages, then get broken gay marriages.
Yay! The thing is, this patch also fixes the inability to boot up the game, error messages, and the inability to save. So if for some reason, you're having those issues, gotta say goodbye to your gay boyfriend.
I
didn't realize that.
I want to make a joke, but for some reason, I'm just really tickled pink by this.
The fact that they said that human relationships are becoming strange.
Okay.
I didn't realize that first party titles. Was this one of their in-house development teams?
I think.
Yeah, I guess that's why they would be doing the patch. I just never really think of, you know, Nintendo first-party titles being super buggy.
You know, they usually aren't, but my understanding is that the way to activate this glitch, or this bug, involves changing the sex of your me after the me has been married in-game. So the game, like, you got married under the correct conditions and then changed the character to be a dude now.
Oh.
So, I mean, to me, that might be something that a bug checker in QA might not even think to check. Like, because that's a circumstance is not even within the game, possibly.
Oh, that's true, so.
So, I mean, the stuff
about the inability to save, though, that kind of is like, yikes.
Yeah, but...
Although, wasn't there a Zelda title that had, like, a game-breaking...
That was Skyward Sword, right?
Was it?
I think.
Skyward Sword or Twilight Princess, I can't remember, but...
Skyward Sword,
anyways, we're probably talking about Zelda more than you wish, huh?
Ew, always.
So let's talk a little more about Year of Atlas. Hashtag. Devil Survivor 2 Break is gonna be delayed a little bit.
Break record,
sorry. It's gonna have to be pushed back a little bit to the fall. It was originally gonna be released on July 11th, as we reported before. So a little bit more of a wait, but, you know, should be worth the wait. You know, I'm definitely even more than ever a supporter of Atlas, so they gotta do what they gotta do.
So the Ouya. I'm gonna talk about the Ouya.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah! The Ouya has secured $15 million funding.
$15 million.
From corporate partners to support its upcoming retail launch, which, coincidentally, has been pushed back to June 25th. The reason for this pushback, as far as I understand it, is a defect in the design of the controller faceplates.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
So I guess when the controller buttons are depressed, because the button holes in the faceplate are too small, the buttons can get stuck depressed underneath the shell and just not pop back out. So they're fixing it, but that sucks.
You know, my Ouya already arrived and I haven't even unboxed it.
That's super funny.
Next
weekend when we record Xbox stuff, you should probably bring your Ouya, and we will set it up.
That's right. That is happening soon.
Yeah, that's going to be this week, the big Xbox reveal. We're definitely going to have to do a special episode for it.
I think so.
Excellent. Well, let's see. Next up, we have good news for many, including those of us here at the Game Buoy Studios. Phoenix Wright, Ace Attorney 5... has been announced for North American release. Unfortunately, to the chagrin of many out in the land of the internet, it is going to be a digital release only on the 3DS.
Cry about it.
Yeah, I like digital distribution. I'm growing to like it more and more every day. So
my thing is, would you rather have a digital release or not have it at all? Okay.
Yeah, I do hope it launches at a price point reflecting that it's a digital-only release.
That would be cool, like $29 instead of $39.
Well, exactly. That's exactly. It's just like when Hokuto no Ken Musou 2, Ken's Rage, came out on Wii U as a digital-only release. I bought that shit like $60.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, that doesn't deserve to be a $60 game. The reasons why they made it digital only in the U.S. are the same reasons why it's not really meant to be a full-price game.
And, you know, that's kind of leads to an interesting question about the pricing of games.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, how much we should account for the packaging and, you know, all of that, the booklets and all of that.
Yeah, yeah, and shipping
and, you know,
and all that.
And, the manufacturing of the cartridges. So, you know, kind of have to, that, I, like we've said on Game Buoy time and time again, we really need to...
Pay what you're comfortable we, I mean, for a game, but...
By we, I mean the industry really needs to look at pricing schemes.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Regardless, Ace Attorney 5...
Coming to the West.
No objection from whoop, here. Whoop.
Well played. Next up, quick follow-up on last week's news of Batgirl as DLC in Injustice Gods Among Us. Unfortunately, Batgirl is going to be Barbara Gordon. If you know
it.
What that means, you have your own opinion on it already. If you don't, it probably doesn't matter to you, and I bet you can't wait until you get to play as Batgirl. So awesome. Another follow-up from news on last week, Dead or Alive 5 Ultimate has been confirmed for Xbox 360 and PS3 this fall. We don't know everything that's going to be added to the game yet, except we do know there are going to be new stages, including Ninja Gaiden, Sky City Tokyo,
cool.
And the character Momiji.
Momiji-san.
You know, from Ninja Gaiden. As well as Leon from Dead or Alive 2 is coming back.
Oh, neat.
They'll be adding more to the game. there are still additional features that haven't been confirmed yet. Please look forward to it. You want to take this next one?
Well, we almost should have talked about this right after talking about Batgirl, because Injustice is going to be joining the Evo 2013 lineup. And also in Injustice news, there's going to be DLC coming to Wii U this summer.
Yay!
Because they Wii U players did not get the Lobo DLC.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Lobo. He's like Logan, but for DC.
Oh.
And lame.
But that's kind of interesting. How do you feel about Injustice being a competitively played game?
Kind of jank. Let me contextualize that, though. And, you know, we're going to talk about Evo during our next fighting game episode. We're going to really talk about Evo.
When is Evo this year?
I don't have an answer for you on that. I would think August or September, but does the article you're looking at have that information?
It does not.
Well, you failed, Joystick.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you talk for just a second while I look this up?
Do you want me to take our next story?
Yes.
So, we finally have heard more about the NVIDIA Shield, specifically that it's going to be launching in June at a $350 price point, and starting on May 20th, so probably by the time you hear this episode, pre-orders will be up.
$350? Good lord, that's a lot of money. How about I give you $20, you give me a cell phone, and tape it to an Xbox controller?
Oh, so it would be basically the same thing. An Android phone and an Xbox controller. And we mean, like, Xbox, not Xbox 360.
Yeah, right.
This thing looks kind of clunky.
You know, I always make fun of people who always get super hesitant about price, because if you're looking for a cheap hobby, gaming isn't really it. Like, maybe you should look into
knitting. You know, this thing...
But, I have to say that that's out of my price range for this.
It is.
For what
for me
they
as well.
Have on offer, that's too much money for
me. I'm going to have to see how it holds up. I mean, you know, it is powered by Tegra 4, so, you know, a pretty beefy little guy for an Android device.
So Evo 2013 is going to be July 12th through 14th.
Oh, that might be a good timeline to do our follow-up Follow-up Fighting Four-Way. Official episode title. You heard it here
first. Clock it. You heard it here first. Okay, yeah, so the reason why I have issues with Injustice at Evo, because that's why we brought this whole thing up in the first place, is that some number of months ago, Evo had opened up nominations for fighting games to, you know, what's going to be played at Evo this year. Skullgirls got a lot of money raised, but one of the games that got a ton of money raised and really rightfully should have been allowed to compete was the fan game My Little Pony Friendship is Magic.
Oh, yeah.
And they're not letting that be done. So it seems really dirty and strange to me that they're just letting Injustice in. Like, that reeks to me of corporate sponsorship
probably,
and money
so
hatting.
New. It's so like, new.
I think there probably could be a competitive scene for Injustice. The game, it feels pretty balanced already, and I know they've talked about doing more balanced patches and what have you. So, I think there could be a competitive scene, like high-level competition, but this, to me, seems like it's, like, money-motivated, and I'm generally at least a little bit hesitant about that. So, when you ask me how I feel about it, the answer is glad, but also concerned.
Hmm. So...
Because I do like the game tremendously.
I'm sorry.
No, that's a good time. I was just wrapping up.
So, way back on our MMO episode, we briefly talked a little bit about Rift.
Rift!
And, like others in it's followed the footsteps of the Old Republic and some others, it's going free-to-play. As of
free-to-play? Are you out of your mind?
So, of course, it's going to be a freemium model with an optional subscription. I mean, that's really where we're seeing all these MMOs going.
Yep, absolutely. I think that for most MMOs, that's going to be the direction moving forward.
Honestly.
We talked about that a lot during our MMO episode. I don't really want to sort of retread the same old ground. But yeah, I'm not surprised to see this, and I hope it does well for them. I enjoyed my time playing Rift, and free to play, I'm almost certain to download it and give it a go again.
You know, I picked it up, like a collector's edition on Steam during a big sale.
Nice!
Yeah, so, you know, I liked it. I was actually part of the beta, like, the stress testing of it.
Yeah, me too.
Oh yeah, because I think everyone got to do that. But, you know, I liked it at the time. I thought it was really competent. I actually really liked the,
dual classing?
Just the whole class trees in general.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm not currently playing WoW, so, you know, especially since this is free to play, I just at the time could not justify paying for it.
Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, so I might check this out.
Excellent. Cool.
So, something near and dear to our hearts.
Yours? I don't really care.
We heard a little bit from Silicon Era. I almost said Silicon Era. They spoke to Kazuki Morishita, who is the CEO of Gung-Ho Online Entertainment.
You skipped a link. That's why I thought that this wasn't near and dear to my heart. I'll cover that one after you finish.
To be fair, the way I had my windows open, you skipped like two links.
That's because they were miscast in a different under a different header. Think.
Yeah, I follow you. So, anyway...
Let the record show that I'm making a little heart shape at First Mate Slag Kick right now.
Silicon Era spoke to the CEO of Gung-Ho Online Entertainment about Puzzle & Dragons and why it was so successful. And he said, you know, a lot of it's luck that, you know, it just struck a chord with people. But what we're really wanting to talk about...
Is the way that this interview ends.
Is... That they were started to talk about Puzzle & Dragons Z.
Which is, of course, the 3DS Puzzle & Dragons game.
And Silicon Era asked, will Gung-Ho Online Entertainment America handle publishing the console version in the U.S.? And his answer was yes.
Yes.
So basically confirmation of Puzzle & Dragons Z being localized for American audiences.
Straight up.
Day one.
Absolutely. Like, Puzzle & Dragon with, like, single-player stuff, I'm here for that.
Yeah.
The one that we skipped is that Best Buy is now taking pre-orders for the Animal Crossing 3DS XL bundle.
Oh, that's right.
This is, of course, one of those super couture-looking 3DS XL models. If you're interested in that, we highly suggest you check out Best Buy's website or in-store to put your money down.
No, you weren't really here for
lock
that.
One
you,
up.
You want the Luigi one instead, right?
I want the Luigi one.
Why don't you import it? It's
3DS is region locked.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah, it always has been. I QQ about it all the time.
I'm just thinking back to the days when I used to like import shit from my Game Boy all the time.
Yeah, even the DS was region-free, but the DSi is where this all started.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Everything is awful. Let's see, so...
Metal Gear Solid!
The Legacy Collection will be coming out in the U.S. on July 11th.
We just did a little Jenna and Tracy parade hosting there.
Both host one.
Yes.
In additional release date news, I'm very excited about this.
This is great news.
The Wonderful 101 has been set for release in North America on September 15th and Europe on August 23rd.
Ooh.
Kind of jealous that Europe gets it, you know, like almost a month before us, but super excited that I get to play the new Platinum Games game.
I know where a lot of my paycheck from August is going.
That's
because
sad.
Between, no, I'm just saying between this and HD Remix.
Oh, yeah, just generically games. Okay, yeah. I thought you were saying
my
that
paycheck is not
paycheck was like $60. I was so worried.
No. Here's some very, very interesting news. Just as with the prior entry was from Nintendo Direct just the other day, this also was revealed in Nintendo Direct that Super Luigi U DLC, the DLC is coming on June 20th, but on August 25th, there will be a standalone version available for $10 more. The DLC is going to be $19.99, the standalone version will be $29.99.
And in Europe, the standalone version will be releasing July 26th.
Excellent. Now, you were saying that the package, I didn't see any links to the package or anything, but you said it's like a nice screen.
Yeah, it's supposed to be, the standalone retail release is going to be like sort of a limited edition, fancy packaging with like embossed art and like a seal of Year of Luigi on it. I'm kind of mad because I saw it. I'm probably going to buy the DLC version and then just buy a collector copy.
That's not a bad idea.
Of the limited edition to sit on my shelf in its wrapping and look super pretty.
Because, you know, I have all those. I have the Kirby anniversary. I have the Mario anniversary packages. So, honestly, I might do that, too. Also, in that same announcement, since Mario is not in the game, Mario is missing. That Nabbit will be the playable character.
So, Luigi, Two Toads, and Nabbit? Really, Nintendo? Nabbit?
And they say in the multiplayer games, which I just assume means more than one player.
Yeah, yeah.
The interesting thing is that when they first announced this, I thought that...
Well, Nabbit has special abilities. He can't collect any of the power items in the game, so no raccoon suit for whoever's playing Nabbit. But he also takes no damage from enemies.
Oh, so you mean when I play with my mom, that would be a good character for her to play.
Yes, yes. And then as long as she can avoid falling into pits, she's effectively invincible.
That might not go so well for her. Now, you know, the thing that's interesting is that the reason that I asked about the multiplayer thing and not that like there were some like multiplayer mini games or something is because I thought they originally announced this as just being a single player DLC.
Initially they had, but I don't know, maybe they got negative feedback on that. It's, you know, they're definitely talking about Luigi, Two Toads, and Nabbit, so, you know, clock it, but it is what it is.
I'll take this next one because you don't like talking about Zelda. On the Oracle of Ages, Oracle of Seasons by Force Tip, for the first 3 weeks of release, starting May 30th...
Let the record show, I'm opening another beer.
Is there another one? Because I've almost killed my second. So, as we reported before, the game will launch May 30th, and for the first 3 weeks... Oh, you gave me that one?
Oh my god, stop. Continue talking about your stupid Zelda.
Let the record note that Captain Spike gave me his beer. He's a generous captain. So for most of June, you can get it for $1 off. So $4.99. I'll be doing that.
Although, you know, I gotta say, this seems a little shady of Nintendo. I know they have a variable pricing structure on virtual console games, and I support that. But it seems kind of jank to me that most of the top-tier Game Boy Color games are already $4.99. So, like, oh, this one on discount is $4.99. That means it's going to be the highest-priced one.
It has the Link system functionality.
Bitch, don't even.
I'm obviously being facetious. Like, hello, games have had passwords for forever. This is just a creative use of it.
Thank you. It's not even that creative. LBR.
In a way, it's almost like you can't access this content unless you've played both games and got the passwords. Or can you just look the passwords up online at this point?
I think at this point you could just look the passwords up.
They should really make them randomly generated.
That's not how passwords work, dog.
Yeah, well, they could
like,
have.
Randomly generated passwords wouldn't work.
Well, but they would all follow some, like, hash checker. I don't know. I don't know how game passwords work. I'm a little tipsy.
Girl. We're early in this episode yet. We haven't even gotten to Superman 64. That having been said, old business and old business is all finished. New business is new business, and we need to start that now.
News. 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 Oh my god, news. So I've got some really exciting news for you. Why are you laughing? Aren't you excited for...
I am! I'm laughing because I'm so excited.
You're so excited for Mario and Sonic at the Sochi 2014 Olympic Winter Games. Where the hell is Sochi? Let me see.
Girl, are you serious?
Yeah, I don't know geography. I'm horrible.
You are horrible.
As you Google where the hell Sochi is.
No, it's in Russia. I didn't have to Google that.
Oh. Okay, I thought you were Googling.
No, the 2014 Winter Olympics are there. Who doesn't know that?
Me. Well, anyways, you know, Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games is a thing at this point. I'm not a big fan, but, it is headed to the Wii U.
Yeah, and, you know, the most interesting part about this, of course, Mario and Sonic at the Winter Games coming to Wii U, that's sort of the big part of this news. But, interestingly, this is the first of a three-game publishing deal with Nintendo, whereby Nintendo is going to be publishing Sonic games for Sega. There will be another follow-up point on this in about 3 minutes, so please look forward to it. In the meantime, very, very, very exciting news for me, Sega and Nintendo have confirmed that they are going to be bringing a boatload of more Sega Game Gear titles to the Virtual Console on 3DS in the immediate future.
There's some great stuff on here, too.
Yeah, so I just want to go over this list real quick. Slidekick, please feel free to cheer or make some sort of positive noise when I get to a game that's good. First on the list, we got Columns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got Crystal Warriors. Mm-hmm. We got Defenders of Oasis.
Yeah.
We got Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always here for a good Puyo Puyo game.
Oh, yeah.
We got G-Lock Air Battles.
Yo, what up, G-Lock?
G-Lock, represent. We have Shining Force 2, the Sword of Hajia.
Just don't put any YouTube videos up on this.
I'm actually really excited about this. I have this game already on my Sega CD. It's a part of the Shining Force CD version.
Excellent.
It's Shining Force Gaiden 1 and 2 and like a third one that's new for the CD format. But I've never played the original format Shining Force 2 on Game Gear. So I saw this and I squealed like a 5-year-old girl for like 30 minutes.
You squealed like a pig.
Ew, that... No. So, I'm really excited about Shining Force 2.
Can I rattle some of these off?
No. We also have Sonic Blast coming at ya. We got Sonic Drift 2.
Woo, woo.
We got Sonic Labyrinth.
Mm-hmm.
We got Sonic the Hedgehog. We got Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Console versions are better, but okay.
I actually like Sonic the Hedgehog 2 a lot, so...
The Game Gear Sonic 2 was pretty good, aka also available for Master System.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We have Tails Adventure.
Yes!
Ooh.
I love Tails Adventure.
Apparently.
I love Tails Adventure.
To be fair, I think everyone I know believes that that game is underrated, so I'm looking forward to it.
It was a really, really interesting little game.
I never played it because I hate Tails.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I know. You don't have to remind me.
Tails Cast 2016. Please look forward to it on April Fool's 2016.
No. I will quit Game Movie before that happens. And last but not least, Vampire Master of Darkness. I've never played that game, so I'll definitely buy it. In fact, I'm probably going to buy like 80% of these games.
I hope they have a special bundle or something. They won't, but...
Really, super exciting news to me, moving on. Japan only for now, but... Ryu Ga Ga Toku 1 and 2 HD... that is, of course, known in the U.S. as Yakuza 1 and 2 HD, has been announced for the Wii U in Japan. This is, of course, notable because it's a third-party game that's coming to Wii U. Of course, the Ryu Ga Ga Toku games are very popular in Japan. This isn't that surprising. We don't anticipate that they'll be coming over to the U.S., but crazier things have happened. Let's all keep our fingers crossed. And if you're looking for, you know, if you're a gamer out there with Twitter and you're looking to indignantly rage at game publishers about something, this is probably a good cause to support.
But Yakuza games have come over before.
Well,
right?
So 1, 2, 3, and 4 have, as did Ryu Ga Ga Toku of the Dead as Yakuza Dead Souls. But 5 has not come over yet, and there's been no indication that it will.
Huh.
The problem, of course, is that 5 is, like, the biggest, most sprawlingest game in the series. Most people really, really love it in Japan, but we have not heard word one ever. And since Sega had pretty explicitly stated that they weren't going to be bringing games like this over to the U.S., you know, back when we sort of talked about when they were having their issues.
Oh, yeah.
The concern is that we will not be getting any more of the Yakuza games. I hope this isn't true, and I am probably going to tweet at Sega about QQing why can't we have Yakuza 1 and 2 HD on Wii U, because I would buy that in a heartbeat.
So do you want to talk about this next one? Because you're really excited about this.
I'm excited about it too. Excited about this. I did not realize I liked Sonic so much before this week, but I tell you, it's been an eye-opener. So I
awesome!
Said, so I had mentioned that we were going to come back to that Sega and Nintendo partnership. That time has come. Sonic...
How the tides have turned since the 90s.
Yes. Sonic Lost World has been announced. It is so far being said to launch exclusively for Wii U and 3DS. And supposedly this is a game that Nintendo and Sega are working on together in development. Obviously, this could just be a simple mistranslation, but for the moment, I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, so in a reversal of past, Nintendo does what Sega don't.
Yeah.
By which we mean put out a game that looks like it's going to be a really good Sonic game.
Yeah.
To be fair, we don't really know much about it, but...
There has been one screenshot, and it's... Sonic on the Hurricane or Tornado or whatever that airplane was called, flying into a world that looks hex-based. It's kind of weird, but I don't know. They specifically called it like an action-adventure platform game, so...
A mix of Sonic Adventure and... I'd like to see it like be a mix of like Sonic Generations, like modern levels, and like Mario Galaxy. I would just be like, what?
Break me off a piece of that.
So, in a short little tidbit of news, for PC gamers that were sad that they couldn't play Metal Gear Rising Revengeance, it's headed to PC.
I'm going to double dip on this. I already have this on Xbox, but I will definitely also get it on PC.
I actually got it for PS3. Kojima-san actually mentioned this on his Hide Radio podcast. Man, we should do a Hide Radio Game Buoy crossover. I know I've said that like a bunch of times. We should just tweet at Kojima-san.
Yeah, but I'm really excited to see Metal Gear Rising Revengeance come to the PC.
You know, hashtag Year of Platinum.
Year of Platinum.
And Atlas.
And Atlas. Yeah, I mean, Atlas isn't involved here, but yes, also Atlas. I'm just really excited because I thought Rising was a great game. I didn't really have a lot of like glaring technical issues, but... My computer could definitely run this, like, maxed out, so I want to see that. Like, I want to go to there. So, looking forward to it.
So you want to know something crazy?
Yep.
Apparently in Japan, there's a rebuild of Evangelion X Puzzle and Dragons crossover.
As a matter of fact, I did know that, and I was very excited.
That's nuts, and I'm jealous that it's Japanese only. So, they are going to be adding some cameo characters, Shinji and Eva Unit 01. There's two varieties, both water type dragons. Rei and Eva Unit 0, which is a light type. Asuka and Eva Unit 02, which is a fire type. Mari and Eva Unit 5, which is wood. And then two angels that are dark and light. All those types are Puzzle and Dragon types.
I like Mari Illustrious quite a bit, so...
Yeah, I am looking forward to Rebuild 3.0.
Have you not seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen it yet. It's...
Girl! Okay, well, we'll talk about this off the air. Like, this is not the Evangelion cast, although it should be.
Stop.
Stop.
Plants vs. Zombies 2 sprouts this July. I stole the headline from Joystick, but it was cute, so...
Yeah, credit where it's due. Joystick came up with a really good headline for that, so A+.
So, yay Plants vs. Zombies, yay PopCap, yay Summer Games.
Sims 4 has been announced for a 2014 release on PC and Mac.
Oh, is it going to require an always online internet connection?
Amusingly enough, EA has specifically said no, that will not be the case.
I have to admit, I kind of want to get back into Sims.
I'm not really here for that, so have fun with that. You can talk about it here on the show, because you're not going to have any competition. I couldn't possibly care less. You want to take this one? Because you're the one who submitted this to the show role, so I don't really have a lot to say about it.
So this is just a little interesting thing that that Kotaku Totillo actually saw over on GameStop.com, that they were advertising Mario and Donkey Kong Minis on the Move, now available exclusively at GameStop on Nintendo 3DS. And it's a download, like, it links to buying the download. It's not even at a different price. And so, pretty much, good job, Totillo, for calling out GameStop for...
They're the only retailer that sells, like, the download code on their store. So they probably figure that they're the exclusive, like, retail distributor, since you can't just go to Walmart. Like, for people that don't like buying direct from Nintendo on their console. Because there are people like that. In fact, I think we have at least one listening to our show, because I've seen tweets about people that complain about
digital distribution. I was going to make fun of those people, but if we have a listener, then I understand and respect your decision.
Thank you.
So this news is kind of neat. Go, go, go! There's an indie fighter game called Air Dash Online. It's a platform fighter, and it is inspired specifically by Super Smash Bros. Melee. Best Smash Brothers. That's really cool. There's some characters that are, you know, inspired playstyle-wise by some familiar people. There's a character who's inspired by Ganondorf, and they also said Zangief, which is interesting.
Yeah, please look forward to it. Look up the link over on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
We're going to link you to this article on Silicon Era. And it should be exciting stuff.
Yeah, there must be some Street Fighter influence, because another one references Zero Suit Samus and Dalsim.
Neat.
Pac-Man and the Ghostly Adventures, announced for release this fall. I'm sorry that I'm not rewording the headlines, but it says what it says.
You really should be, but this one comes from Silicon Era that came up with that headline that you just read verbatim.
Except I put a ghosty voice to it. So,
you're just reminding me of those motion detecting ghosts that you can buy at, like, Spirit, the Halloween store, that are like.
I want it to be Halloween. I want it to be Halloween right now.
Yeah. I'm really sorry.
So, anyways, this is a Namco Bandai, of course. 3D Pac-Man game. So, if 3D Pac-Man's not your thing.
Somewhat interestingly, is that this is going to be based on an animated series of the same name that's been actually. Designed and, like, directed or whatever, or produced or whatever, by the guy who used to run Marvel Studios, Avi Arad. So that's going to be cool. It's set to air on Disney XD next season, I guess. So this is, you know, it's a multimedia crossover title, but it could be cool. I mean, certainly Namco needs to make Pac-Man relevant again in some context.
Yeah, I've noticed that this Pac-Man has a nose. I feel like their Pac-Man mascot didn't have a nose for a long time.
Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. I don't really know.
All right, so some exciting news about E3. Well, pre-E3. Konami's going to be streaming their press conference pre-E3 on June 6th. And yeah, get that at events.konami.com on June 6th.
Please look forward to it.
And also, interestingly, that they'll be live streaming it on GameSpot.com and the GameSpot app on Xbox Live Arcade.
Oh, that's neat.
So we'll see what Konami has to announce.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Konami, it can always be counted on for a laugh, if nothing else. No, literally, their E3 pressers are typically a joke. So if they deliver this year, that's great. And otherwise, please be prepared to laugh. Mm.
I feel like you might want to talk about this next one.
So there's another Super Couture-looking 3DS.
It's so cool-looking.
Why would you ask me to talk about it and then talk over me?
I'm reacting.
You're so mean. There's a new Super Couture-looking 3DS XL coming out in Japan. This is modeled after the Pokemon Eevee. And the thing that's really cool about it is that rather than just, like, having Evie's face along with, like, the cameras as nipples or what have you, like nipple chew.
Ah!
This is just, like, a really super couture-looking, like, colored stripes using the color theme of Evie and maybe his evolution.
It kind of reminds me of, like, a 1970s couch, but, like, not ugly.
Yeah, we will link you to the joystick article on this, on GameBoy.org.
Were you yawning or were you just talking in a weird voice?
I was yawning and trying really hard to stifle it. Thanks for pointing that out, jerk.
You talked about me spilling a beer. Sorry about it.
Well, you spilled a beer. I yawned.
At least I didn't blame the beer spilling on the wind. Sorry, see with Jason.
So, yeah, we'll link you to this article.
Watch our subscriber count goes down by one now.
Please, please don't say that. Please don't.
I was just Seawolf Jason.
You're mean.
Sorry, Seawolf Jason, we love you.
So, yeah, Joystick has the image. I highly recommend you take a look at it.
God,
we'll link you
collect,
on GameBuoy.org.
I kind of just want to collect GameBuoy.org.
You kind of want to collect GameBuoy.org?
No, I kind of want to just collect Couture 3DX XLs because they look so good.
Next up on the list, Google Play is launching game services for mobile, social, and cloud gaming.
Cool. That's kind of what Google does. Cloud. That's
yeah,
what everyone does. Cloud.
It's like a Google/Android or whatever. Like, you know, it's like a response to the iOS Game Center or Xbox Live profile or what have you.
That's cool.
So... yeah, that's kind of all I have to say about it. Gran Turismo 6 has officially been announced. It'll be available this holiday with a demo releasing in July.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Cool.
Scribblenauts Unmasked has been released, announced, and it will have thousands of DC Comics characters in it.
Say what? Oh, DC, never mind.
Scribblenauts Unmasked, a DC Comics adventure, will contain over 2,000 characters. Developer Fifth Cell claims to have every single superpower series and, like, timeline from the DC Comics.
That's cute.
History represented.
I mean, I would prefer Marvel, obviously.
You know,
but...
I'm going to tell you this right now. If Sandman is in the game, I'm there.
Oh,
if,
you mean
if
like...
if Death is in the game, I'm there.
Well, you're talking about Neil Gaiman's versions, obviously.
Well, yeah, well, which were published by DC under their Vertigo label.
Yeah, because Vertigo is the only DC
Several of these characters have appeared in the mainstream DC universe, so it seems like it would be a huge oversight.
That's cool, and I'm thinking about it...
I'm sure...
Fifth Cell is kind of like typically works with WB games, right? And WB pretty much... always partners with DC, right?
Yeah, yeah. I'm sure my favorite Batgirl is going to be in it. I'm sure John Constantine is going to be in it. So
okay,
I'm here for it. I was not interested in this game before recording like 5 seconds ago. Now I'm into this
game.
Do
you think Spider Jerusalem is going to be in it?
I mean, if they really do include Vertigo stuff, he'd have to be.
That would be kind
Could
of amazing.
Imagine? Oh my god, I want to play as the Filthy Assistants.
Ah! Oh.
I want to play as Jesse Custer from Preacher.
We might have to just do a comic cast.
Anyway.
The Game Boy banner.
Anyway. You can take this last one.
Can I do it in a gay voice? Because I feel like doing it in a gay voice.
Are there news topics you read that aren't in gay voice?
Well, gayer than usual.
Is that a thing?
Resident Evil Revelations has new costumes like Pirate Jill and
You're being offensive.
Sailor Chris.
You're being offensive. Please stop.
I wasn't being that offensive.
You were offending me. Think about
it. I'm gay. I can be gay. So, obviously, as pirates, I mean, this is silly, obviously, but go look at the art on Silicon Era.
We'll link you over on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org. You know, Pirate Jill, we're obviously a fan on, and Sailor Chris, he is the one named Sailor Chris. We're here for that. Sailor Chris actually has some short shorts.
Yeah,
I'm kind of here for that. I want to play.
Yeah, I was. I'm
the whole
I'm
time
interested.
Is that. Yeah.
Well, that does it for our news segment today.
Yeah.
However, we are bringing you a fresh new segment in the form of Doom and Gloom. Spooky, scary. So, and I apologize for all of you folks out there in Radioland. I'm going to try and sort of keep things here on the level a little bit for the rest of this episode, if possible.
Good luck with that.
First up, our first doom and gloom is actually good news. Sony has made its first net profit in 5 years, despite a quote-unquote deteriorated games business.
Is that the doomy and gloomy part?
Well, no. I mean,
shouldn't that be under a banner called like Sunny and Funny?
Girl,
sun and fun.
Yeah, no, this is actually good news.
That's good news for Sony.
You know, we've talked in the past about how Sony was losing money hand over fist year after year, and it was starting to get really worrying.
I don't know, it's pretty gloomy that they called it deteriorated.
Well, their games business, but, you know, this late in the current generation, and they're probably spending a lot of money in R&D, so of course they're going to be losing money on games. As long as they're making money overall, they're still looking good. Nintendo Bandai's year-end revenues were up this year, so this is also not
Nintendo
doomed.
Nintendo Bandai?
Did I say Nintendo
yes,
Bandai?
Yes, you did.
Well,
you
I'm getting
Namco
a little drunk.
Bandai.
I did mean Namco Bandai. This is
Who
really,
knows? One day it might be Nintendo Bandai.
Right? This is really interesting because they had announced that Tekken Tag Tournament 2 underperformed compared to sales expectations. Of course, I think this is really unpleasant because, as I've spoken about here on the show, I actually thought Tekken Tag Tournament 2 was really quite
Tekken
well
Tag
done.
Tekken Tag Tournament 2. Yeah, I actually had fun with it.
Electric Boogaloo. In proper doomy and gloomy news, World of Warcraft has lost 1.3 million subscribers since February, and they're now down to 8.3 million subscribers overall.
That's okay. They were probably just people from RP servers.
I don't get it. Is that a joke?
No, I'm just throwing shade at people on RP servers.
That seems really uncalled for. And if there's anyone out there in Radioland listening to us that plays on RP, please know that only Slagkick is ignorant. Overall, the official position of the SS Game Buoy is to support RP server players.
If you play on an RP server and you're hot, I'll meet you at the inn in Goldshire.
Well, we know what happens there.
What happens in Goldshire stays in Goldshire.
So, really sad, Assassin's Creed creator, and I'm going to screw this name up, I always do, Patrice Desolée has been let go from Ubisoft. You know, he had left Ubisoft some number of years ago and had begun work at THQ Montreal. Ubisoft reclaimed him along with their acquisition of THQ Montreal, and now, you know, a scant 2 months later, he has been fired again. So that's super sad, and in related news, previous THQ producer Jean-François Bovin has also been let go by Ubisoft, according to Patrice Desolée. So it looks like
they should just go off and start a company together.
It looks like Ubi is just letting people go left and right from THQ Montreal, and that's really sad, and I really hope
it's
that
lame.
These guys land somewhere good, because they're good
folks.
They
should start their own studio and make a game that's better than Assassin's Creed.
Nah, they should just join Platinum. Just join
everyone
Platinum
should join
games.
Platinum.
Not
Platinum,
everyone.
Platinum Games Montreal.
Yeah, right? No, I'd be here for that. Silicon Knights continues to unload property, closing their office following the continuation of their battle with Epic Games. We've talked a lot about the Silicon Knights and Epic Games legal dispute. I don't really want to waste more breath on it, but sounds more and more like an inevitable
The bottom
closing.
Line, Silicon Knights put out some stinkers, but the people behind it, you know, are still living, breathing humans, presumably.
Yeah. Also sad, Konami's financial results indicate overall net decreases in profit this year.
Yeah.
So they have teased a hardcore Metal Gear push at E3 this year, and hopefully that'll pan out for them, because if we lose Konami, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah,
like, I will actually cry. I don't
we
what Castlevania is these days.
We kind of talked about...
And I'd cry.
We kind of talked about the issues that we have with Konami on... our big three
of Japanese
gaming giants. But, you know, we still love these Konami properties, even if they're not being used to the best potential. There was also an indication that they're going to be trying to push the social mobile market more, which, surprise, surprise, that's modern gaming for you.
Sad truth, I would be happier with a mobile social Castlevania game than I would be
Lords of Shadow. So, you know, expect that maybe on the E3 pre-3 screening stream.
And, unfortunately, last but not least, this is really sad, TimeGate, whom you're probably familiar with from developing Aliens, Colonial Marines, or, if you like good games, Section 8, is very likely closed. Their entire staff was laid off last week.
That sucks.
Yeah, that sucks a lot. So, we're really sorry to hear about this.
That game was pretty shitty, though. Not that that means anything personal about anybody.
No, it was awful. I mean, it's widely recognized as a super awful game. But, that doesn't change the fact that people are losing jobs here, and that's super sad.
That's pretty much the Game Buoy stance on any game studio closure.
So based on the way you're slurring your speech, I assume that you are ready to talk about
I've had three beers, dude.
Are ready to talk about some bad games.
Are you ready for this?
Don't do what you're doing. So I want to frame this discussion for you folks real quick. We sort of started off the pitch for this episode knowing that we just did a three-hour episode last week. We want to get one sort of light and fun for this week, hopefully keep it under an hour and a half.
yeah, right.
Well, we're only at 54 minutes. And, you know, once we edit it down, it won't even be that. So
it'll be 52.
We could keep it at under an hour and a half, I hope.
Let's try.
But I was mainly inspired by the sort of Japanese subculture surrounding kusoge. For those of you unfamiliar with the term, of course, it's a Japanese portmanteau, as many are. Many of these phrases are. Kuso is literally translated most frequently as shit. Ge, in this context, is short for gemu, the Japanese pronunciation of the word game. So quite literally, kusoge is shit game. And this is a thing where people in Japan, and of course I don't want to sound like some sort of pretentious jerk about it, but this sort of is used for games that people enjoy playing in, like, a misty 3K style, where games are just super awful but super fun to play. I think the easiest game to cite here would probably be something like Naughty Dog's 3DO title Way of the Warrior, where you have these really cheaply animated digitized sprite graphics that have super awkward jump physics. So someone is jumping straight up in the air like a board with no animation at all, just like floating in air. And this game is so bad and ugly.
It starts to become funny.
That it becomes funny, exactly. So we want to talk about that today. We're not going to be quite as academic in these discussions as we usually try to be, which is why the beer is involved. If you out there in Radioland have any notable awful games that you have experience with and want to talk about, please reach out to us on Twitter or Facebook.
Or Tumblr or Google+, but let's be real, who really uses those?
So with that having been said, I want to start with a handful of games that are sort of good, but still objectively bad.
You know, can I start us off? Yeah.
I was just going to say, this first one we have slated is one that I know you really love. So good.
Yeah, I actually like it so much that I talked about it on our Underappreciated Gems episode. And that, of course, is Barbie, which was released 1990-ish by High Tech Expressions. Is that what they were called? I don't know. High Tech. And, you know, it was not a great game, but it wasn't terrible.
Yeah, well, I mean, I watched a Let's Play of it, and I was, like, kind of impressed, but at the same time, I played it myself. Pardon. And I literally could not figure out the game mechanics on my own.
Yeah.
The hit detection seemed really poor. Hitboxes of your player character
it had were really good music.
Ridiculous. I don't know that I'd agree with that. But I thought it was a complete mess. watching it being played online by someone who knew what they were doing, I was a little bit more like.
Did you not know that you had to feed like magic gems to the dog?
Well, no, because that's so dumb. And
that's kind of a mechanic. That's kind of a mechanic for a lot of Barbie games, though.
Feeding animals non-edible.
Well, no, animals that do stuff for you. You know what else?
Sex stuff?
Which was not a... No, but this
we
was...
We do the weird stuff.
This wasn't necessarily a bad game, but you know what else had animals that do stuff for you? The Pocahontas game.
You know what other game had animals that do stuff for you? Little Nemo.
Yes. Which is not a Kusuke.
No, I actually think that's a really great
game. So, we need to tell a story about this next one, unless you have anything to say about Barbie.
Pull the trigger on that, my friend.
So, when I first met Captain Spike almost 10 years ago... Oh, I have beer left. Ooh, that made a good clink, though, so maybe good that I didn't have no beer left.
Let the record show that I am looking at Slagkick like mouth agape. Like, what? How drunk are you right now?
I'm feeling pretty good.
Feeling yummy head to toe.
Do you have another... Are you having another beer for me?
Obvo. Keep on.
When I first met Captain Spike, we've kind of talked about this before on the LGBT episode, I believe, that, you know, when I first met Captain Spike, I was like, oh, I didn't know a lot of gay guys anyways, but, you know, I didn't know very many gay nerds. And, there we go. Of course, one of the first things we did when we hung out, aside from Starbucks and Rasputin's, which is what you do. Rasputin's is a super cool used record store for the records.
Okay, continue.
And we, of course, would hit up, like, GameStop, and we happened to see this one game called Eggmania. And we were like, what? And it wasn't just that we saw the Eggmania. We saw this kid who was, like, what? He must have been, like, 9 years old.
He was old enough to know better.
He was like, hey, Mom, can I get Eggmania? And we were just like, what? And then, so here's where the story gets funny, is that,
oh, good. It's taking a minute.
Rude. The story is super classic. So for one of Captain Spike's birthdays, like that following birthday.
Probably like 24, maybe.
I don't even know.
Anyway, move on.
I surprised Captain Spike with a copy of Eggmania for GameCube.
And the thing is, it was actually kind of super good.
So Eggmania.
I mean, it's awful.
This whole point is, that Eggmania is basically a Falling Blocks puzzle game. It's a Tetris clone.
Yeah, but it's reasonably well executed,
even though
it has awful art design, and it just looks like complete trash shovelware. It's actually kind of good.
It's not that bad. I'd rather play Tetris. I'd rather play pretty much any other puzzle game besides Eggmania, but Eggmania is not that painful to play.
So I meant to talk about this next game during our Underappreciated Gems episode. I'm going to speak very lightly on it now in case I did, because I want to repeat myself.
I think you might have, but...
But I want to talk about Chubby Cherub.
Chubby Cherub.
Those of you who are not familiar with it, you basically play a naked little angel who has to avoid, like, donuts or something.
Why would you avoid donuts?
And, like, toxic smoke clouds and smokestacks. I don't know.
How can you compare donuts and smokestacks?
The graphics are super ugly and weird, and the controls suck and make no sense. But for whatever reason, when I was a kid, I played this game for probably 30 or 40 hours. Like, I would just play it every day. Every day.
It's a little scary how much Chubby Cherub comes up in Captain Spike's conversations.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a little naked baby. Wait.
That's got a little weird. Let's move on.
For the record, I do not find Chubby Cherub appealing in that context. Please do not assume that I do. I'm a little tipsy. The point was The point was that a naked angel baby is easy and fun to make jokes about.
Yes.
Jesus. You. next up, we have Deadly Premonition. This is a current gen game. In fact, it just came out on PS3, so if you're curious about it after hearing us talk about it, I highly recommend you go out and get a copy. Basically, someone decided that they were going to make a Resident Evil style unofficial Twin Peaks game.
What? It's an unofficial Twin Peaks game?
When you play it, you'll understand. It is not actually Twin Peaks, but it's like someone watched Twin Peaks and said, there should be a game on this. But since we can't get the license, we're just going to have to change stuff.
I feel like Game Buoy fan Twitter user Boy of Stone would have things to say about this.
I will be shocked if Boy of Stone has not already played Deadly Premonition. It has some awful voice acting. It controls kind of awful. The graphics are kind of ugly. And it is so campy.
What system was it for?
It just came out recently on PS3 here in North America. It was already out on Xbox.
360?
360, yes.
You didn't like it. This is like a new game?
I literally just said this was a current-gen game that just came out. The PS3 version just came out, so... Yeah, it came out a while back on 360, like a couple years ago, and then director's cut on PS3 just came out. This game has a cult following already. I feel like it also has a cult following in Japan, and it's very easy to see why when you play it. It's quirky and weird and kind of awful and completely awesome.
That's great. Speaking of quirky and weird and kind of awful and completely awesome.
Choaniki!
We've
talked about this game tons of times.
We talked about it on the gay episode.
A naked bodybuilder flying through space eating random flying globs of protein. You would. I really think that's all that needs to be said about that.
You know, Choaniki gets a lot of hate, but...
I like it. I actually like Choaniki a lot.
It's just so crazy. It's so cray. You know what else is kind of... It's a bad game, but by design. You might already know what we're talking about. It's Desert Bus, which was... I always forget this little aspect of it. It was part of a Penn and Teller... like
Sega CD
game that never got released, and
I believe it has leaked to the internet now, though.
Oh yeah, but and you know, there's various ways to access Desert Bus.
There's even homebrew ports of it to other consoles.
Yes.
At this point.
So Desert Bus, for those who don't know, is where you have to drive a bus in real time from. Is it like Albuquerque to Las Vegas? I think
that's exactly it, but. The bus has, like, a slight drift to the right, so you have to constantly course correct to the left. You can't just leave it running, or else you'll run off the road and die. So you basically have to be always attentive. There are no other cars on the road. It is just a straight drive with you course correcting to make sure you don't drift off the road over the 6 hours it takes to drive.
And, you know, people have done this for, like, Child's Play, live streaming and stuff.
Charity, yeah, it's...
Because it takes you have to try and do as many trips as you can, and then, like, I think the record's, like, 18 hours or something. The thing is that the reason why we put this in our sort of good category is that,
Well, first off, it has done actual good in the world via the...
Yes.
The Child's
Play
charity drives.
But the thing is that, Penn and Teller, who were apparently pretty involved in the creation of this game for Sega CD, they came up with the concept of Desert Bus as a response to the, you know, the whole, like, oh, video game violence hearings in the Supreme Court or whatever, you know, all that business in the 90s. So they're like, okay, we're gonna make the most inoffensive game ever that it's just so bad that you're just driving a bus in real time. Which I actually think is pretty brilliant.
No, I agree. Like, from an art standpoint, like, artistic statement standpoint, like, that is freaking awesome and brilliant.
You know, Penn and Teller are pretty, like, radical guys. Not, like, radical, badical dude, but, you know. They did that show about, like, calling bullshit out and stuff, so.
Let the record show that I am currently drunk purchasing the PSN download of Choaniki. I have this already for PS1. Import, but I can't play import games on my PS3, and I really want to play Choaniki tonight, so I just did that.
So when you say play Choaniki, you mean eating globs of protein.
Ew.
Not mine.
You don't get to make that joke. Stop.
Not mine. Oh, God. You need to talk about this next one, don't you? I'm sorry, listeners. We're
We're awful tonight. I wanted to include this. Final Fantasy Mystic Quest. I don't really think I need to justify its presence on this list. I think it's generally recognized as bad.
Phoenix Down.
Yeah, oh, you just won the game.
Yay!
But I like
that
it.
That sounds like my difficulty level.
Well, it is.
#changing role of challenging games.
You really want to make that happen. I think it's fun. I think it's cute. I enjoy playing it every few years.
It's not that bad. It's just that the...
It's silly. They made it... It seems like the kind of game that's made specifically because Japan didn't think Americans could play JRPGs.
Which, let's be real, they can't.
Yeah, I mean...
Sorry.
Welcome to 2013.
Honestly, if you're a Game Billy listener and you love JRPGs, you probably can play it, because we're kind of in that special subsection.
And last, but certainly not least, on our completely not at all scientific list of awful games that are still sort of fun to play, is the NES game Friday the 13th. You may or may not be familiar with this game. You played as a camp counselor armed with such weapons as a rock. In the hunt against Jason Voorhees in cabins around Camp Crystal Lake. Sort of the interesting part of the terror of this game is that you would have to go into first-person modes to go into cabins and try to solve, like, mysteries inside them to find Jason's mother's sweater to wear so that he wouldn't attack you because you're wearing his dead mama's sweater and you smell like her or something.
That's a lot of story.
You'd have to go into caves and, like, fight the decapitated flying head of his mother.
It's a lot of, like, Friday the 13th lore.
But while you're in some of these cabins at nighttime, Jason will just come and freaking slaughter you. And if that happens, like, sorry about it. Like,
that's what he do.
Him, but it's probably not going to go super well.
That's what he do. So what you're saying is that the game's pretty terrible, but it actually is very faithful to Friday the 13th.
Yeah, it's kind of surprisingly clever. I wouldn't call it good, but if it were a virtual console download for $3.99, I'd buy it. I wouldn't pay $4.99, but I'd pay $3.99. So now I just want to talk about games that are awful. Not like so awful that like people write news articles about their awfulness. So, you know, we're not talking about like Clay Fighter 33 1/3, or Booger Man. We're talking about stuff like Nightmare on Elm Street for the NES. Have you played this game?
I've watched you play it, and then I just was like, you need to turn this off.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty common response. I had to get this game because I'm a huge Nightmare on Elm Street fan. Absolute huge fan of the franchise of horror films. The problem with this game, of course, it has some really cool concepts, but it completely fails to execute on them. The game's kind of broken. Like, it'll be like, oh, press up to go into this building. But, like, the place you need to be standing while you're pressing up is actually not in front of the building. It's, like, 8 paces to your right. But there's no in-game indication of that, so it's kind of awful. It does have some really cool ideas, though. Like, you can randomly fall asleep, and then suddenly, like, the world turns into demons, and, like, there's, like, zombie dogs coming after you, and Freddy, like, a snake, like, head on a snake coming out at you, shooting tongues at you. You could get Dream Warrior powers, and you could collect, like, boomboxes and caffeine to wake up. So, yeah, it was cool. It had some really neat ideas, but it was just kind of a big mess. And then another game I wanted to talk about that's just really, really bad is Chuck Rock.
Oh, Lord.
I basically always go on this show about how awful Chuck Rock is, so I'm just going to say right here, Chuck Rock's awful, and kick it off to Slagkick, who has one he wants to tell you about.
Yeah, so this game was available on PC, Apple II, but I think the most famous version was on the NES. I'm just going to preface this with... I played the PC version, and I thought it was bad, but the NES version is worse. This game is Muppet Adventures, Chaos at the Carnival. It was just really ugly, and controlled really poorly, but the NES port was so jank that if you tried to beat, because you were supposed to beat some guy who, like, kidnapped Miss Piggy, I don't even know. I'm a little drunk, but...
Oh, Kermit! Oh, Steve, you piggy!
Okay, please don't do that again. I know I started it, but please don't.
Yes, he did. Basically, it was like, oh, his name was Dr. Grump. And it basically, the game on NES was so broken that when you, like, beat the game, and it just repeated back to a minigame. It was just a mess.
You win. Play more.
But I thought it was ugly and horrible even as a small child playing it on my old IBM compatible. So
You know, I'm going to break from my script here a little bit, and I'm going to skip a game and go right to the game everyone that's listening to this is waiting for us to talk about. Bible Adventures!
Yay! I feel like that Rod and Todd Flanders would play that game.
I feel like Rod and Todd Flanders made that game. So, it was ugly as heck. It looked like someone was trying to, clone assets off of, Super Mario 2 or something, but, really poorly. I remember it having a bunch of mini-games, including one where you're supposed to save a baby from a river or something.
That would be Moses, but yeah, I remember that one, too.
It upsets me that you know your Bible lore. Girl, this isn't Arthas and the Frozen Throne. You shouldn't know all this.
That's actually not cool for any religious listeners that might be out there. We respect all faiths of Game Boy listeners.
You know, I actually do completely respect all
Who don't know about baby Moses?
Honestly, I didn't. I truly didn't.
You don't know about baby Moses in the river?
I didn't. And in fact, anyone who wants to school me in a respectful, intelligent way, please do. I certainly
Wasn't that Old Testament, though? I thought you were raised Catholic.
I was raised Catholic, but I don't remember.
You didn't go to Sunday school?
I did. I went to freaking catechism, but I'm not trying to think about all that as an adult.
But yeah, this game was a mess. Wisdom Tree.
But again, anyone who wants to have intelligent discourse with me, I'm not an atheist, and I'm certainly not a self-aggrandizing atheist. I'm also sorry for any atheists who think I'm saying something offensive about you, because I'm definitely not.
And now, something that's kind of...
Most of my best friends are atheists, so hearts to all of you.
Okay, but...
Hearts to everyone! Whether you love ISIS, or Jesus, or Buddha, or Krishna like myself, I love you all.
But yeah, so we're not bashing Bible Adventures for being a Christian game.
We're bashing it for being a terrible, awful, and ugly, and having bad music.
That's interesting to notice is, is that Wisdom Tree was an unlicensed producer of NES.
You know, I remember that because I borrowed this cartridge from a friend of mine when I was in school, and it was like this weird, like pastel blue cartridge that didn't fit in the NES correctly.
That's right. Now, on a related note, I have to admit, this one was so bad that I never even wanted to play it. Bible Adventures. It was available as a console title for PS2, Xbox, maybe GameCube, I don't know. But the one that was notable was the Game Boy Advance version. Because it was a game aimed for children, but the questions were so hard that children wouldn't know them. And what I really remember is that it looked terrible, and there was a GIF of Satan that I used to post on Captain Spike's MySpace. But I just, the criticism of the console versions was that, the minigames had nothing to do with the Bible at all. And it was just like a trivia game. It was bad. I have one that I want to talk about that we didn't actually have on our list here.
Oh, go for it, dude, because then I'm going to do, six.
So, for those who grew up in the 80s, you might remember that Rareware put out some NES titles based on game shows. They did all those Wheel of Fortune ones early on the NES that were pretty good. They did some Jeopardy ones that weren't bad, but they put out a real stinker, and that was based on one of my favorite game shows as a child, Double Dare.
Oh, girl.
The reason that this game was so terrible is that the physical challenges were just absolutely broken. I remember one where you had to, throw a banana at an ape.
What?
Animatronic ape in, I don't even think Double Dare actually had, animatronic apes, but, So there was, a supposedly animatronic ape that you throw bananas at, and it was just broken. And the little characters that you could choose, because, on some of the Wheel of Fortune ones, you could choose, actual characters, but on the Double Dare ones, they were just, these ugly kids. Sorry about it. Captain Spike, I think you got a few stinkers to talk about, don't you?
Yeah, so you and your mom.
That is rude. You can say all you want about my mom, but you do not talk to me that way, Miss Thane.
So the first game I wanted to talk about, and this is for very obvious reasons, is Shadow the Hedgehog.
Do we really have to?
We do, just to just to contrast and compare in a little bit with another real.
Can we just say that Shadow's existence is?
No, it's cool. He's just a black hedgehog with a gun and a lowrider that has super nice sneakers that help him run fast.
God, were they even thinking? Were they even thinking?
Yeah. I want to focus now, of course, on four fighting games. Maybe this discussion would have been better had last week, but last week we were trying to talk more about good fighting games and not crap.
Bitch, you talked about Battle Arena Toshinden.
F you. Battle Arena Toshinden was important and good. You was good. You was important.
I saw you playing it with Seawolf Jason after the episode. It looked terrible.
And we had hella fun, so shut up. The first of these games, of course, is the Star Wars licensed fighter, the Masters of Teras Kasi, which is well known for its adaptation of the Star Wars Expanded Universe.
Oh,
so many of
God,
these games were voiced and seen in movement for the first time, such as Mara Jade, or the Tusken Raider, Horror. One of my favorite
That's worse than Salacious Crumb.
One of my favorite things to do in high school was to play Whore versus Whore, so that the game would announce them as Whore versus Whore. I apologize for how much I just projected while using the word whore, but
I'm a little ashamed that you know that much about a Star Wars EU.
I have that game in my closet. We could play it right now.
No, that needs to stay in the closet with all your other skeletons.
Next up, of course, I want to talk about the Midway 3D fighting game, War Gods. This was sort of...
Wasn't Mortal Kombat enough for them?
Well, this was sort of before Mortal Kombat had successfully made the leap to 3D, and Midway was trying to figure out how to make 3D fighters work.
So, like, oh, we'll put out War Gods and see how that works.
Pretty
and
much.
It didn't.
Well, it didn't. It had a cool take. It was basically Mortal Kombat, but with, like, lore figures from, like, Egyptian gods and goddesses.
Which sounds
and
like
Roman
it would be
gods
cool,
and goddesses.
So why'd they fuck it up?
It's just early 3D fighting game design. It was kind of a mess. But I actually think
it's the Battle Arena Toshinden.
Honestly, yeah. If they were to use the Mortal Kombat 9 engine that, Mortal Kombat 9 and Infamous Injustice use, I actually think that War Gods could make a pretty good comeback.
Just got beer up my nose.
That is not super pleasant, I bet. You should tweet us at GameBuoy if you agree that you would totally play a new War Gods. So tweet at us at GameBuoy. Wait, what is our...
Our Twitter is GameBuoy.org with DOTORG for .org.
Okay, I thought so. But then I started to think, like,
I had more beer than
Game
you,
Buoy
and
podcast?
I know our Twitter.
Okay, good. Next up is BioFreaks, which is another Midway fighting game, I think.
God, why did they try so hard?
Well, this is another 3D fighting game. It's very experimental. It's more like arena-based with a lot of 3D movement.
Is it a battle arena?
Yes. Some characters could, like, fly and, like, go up, like, several stories and then rain down destruction on their enemies. There's a lot of three-dimensional movement. It was a nice try, but it's just not fun to play because it's awful. Poor character designs and stuff, so yeah. And the last one that I really want to talk about, and it's funny because I know of one person in all the world who liked this game I'm about to
mention.
Was
it Seawolf Jason?
It wasn't, but he does listen to our show, so we're probably going to get a comment on Facebook or Twitter. I want to talk about how awful Rage of the Dark Ages was.
Who likes it?
So, this was a game that was basically like everything we just discussed, except, like, it had Pojo the Chicken from the Gauntlet Legends games as a selectable fighter. It was just not good.
What?
It was bad, in fact. It was basically like someone tried to make a Mortal Kombat meets Soul Calibur 3D fighting game. Obviously, still in that period where people were trying to figure out how to make 3D
fighters. Were there babalities?
Work. No.
Damn.
But there was a lot of really poor art design and a lot of really poor character choices. And
Sounds like a lot of poor choices overall.
Exactly. So, if you've ever played Rage of the Dark Ages and you disagree with me, please tweet at us or complain about it to us on Facebook. And I want to say I'm sorry, Wicked. So,
now, it's okay, we don't judge him for listening to Korn.
And now I want to talk about the absolute bottom of the barrel, and I really think Slagkick would get a kick out of kicking this off for us.
So, those of you who know your Nintendo lore might know that in the early 90s, before the PlayStation came out, that Nintendo was interested in building a CD-based add-on to the SNES. In fact, Sony was originally working with Nintendo, and that's where the PlayStation came from. What instead happened is that they were going to work with Philips, who is, I think they're, Philips is part of Magnavox now, right? Philips Magnavox, I don't even know. Philips was a Canadian, I believe, electronics company. You know, Philips TVs, Philips DVD players, whatever.
Okay.
So they put out a console known as the Philips CDI. And Nintendo, because they, you know, it ended up not being an add-on to the SNES, but they gave Philips the permission to use some of their licensed property. So this, of course, resulted in such games, can I call them that? As Hotel Mario.
Oh.
And Link, the Faces of Evil. My boy. Link, my boy. And, you know, those horrible, horrible, horrible Zelda games as well. There was, actually, I heard one of them was actually not that bad. It was the one where you actually got to play as Zelda.
Was that Wand of Gamelon?
Yeah, Wand of Gamelon, I think. But Link the Faces of Evil is, of course, the famous one because of Link, my boy. My boy.
My boy.
My boy.
My boy.
And, you know, just ugly CG. Hotel Mario had some really bad... it wasn't really CG. It was just an animated cutscene, which I'm so used to calling CG, but, you know. Just ugly and not good. And Hotel Mario was kind of like a, almost, I want to say, like, arcade-y sort of game, right? Like, you had to...
Yeah, it was weird.
It was just a pile of weird.
It was poop.
If you asked Philips how they came up with it, they'd just be like, I pooped it.
I think that probably they would.
So, do you want to talk about this next one?
Yeah, I want to talk about Sonic 06.
I ship it. No, I do not.
So, you know, my problems with Shadow the Hedgehog, I mentioned previously, are mostly not with the game itself. It's with a lot of the design choices Sega made. My problem with Sonic 06 is with the game. I mean, there's also some questionable choices, like in the ending, spoiler alert, Sonic makes out with the human girl, voiced by Lacey Chabert. Like... You can do better than that. You were in Mean Girls.
Yeah, really.
This game is just broken. Like, it literally does not work. There's a really awesome bug in the last level of the game where if you try to attack someone with a jump rather than a spin dash, they'll just bounce you off into space, and you'll just have to wait for the game to time out because you're flying through space, and there's nothing
horrible
to hit you out there and kill you. It's awful. The game is just a complete wreck. It's a complete mess. It doesn't work as advertised.
And that's why Nintendo is helping them develop the new 3D Sonic platformer.
One hopes. So, yeah, it's just a mess all around. It's not even worth looking at for lols. Like, I could make a pretty good argument that any of the games we talked about in our previous segment, you could get some kind of enjoyment out of.
Even like, oh my god, it's so bad!
Sonic 06? Nope. It is just bad. Just bad.
You'll break a controller over it.
Yeah, well, I mean, you'll want to probably punch someone for making it. Next up, of course, we have the well-known around the internet, it's practically a meme itself, Barbie Horse Adventures.
Barbie Horse Adventures.
I'm not going to talk too much about Barbie Horse Adventures. I only played it once, and it wasn't... I'm not the audience that that game was made for, and I almost feel bad harping on it too much, but I am going to say it was complete broken crap, and I hated it.
He actually loves it.
Girl. If I loved it, I would not. I'd have no shame in my game.
No shame in my game.
Speaking of absolutely awful-looking broken games...
And also basically a meme at this point.
And also a meme at this point. Let's talk a little bit about Superman 64.
Do we really have to?
I mean, we could at least make a joke about how Superman, with his awesome X-ray vision and stuff, can't see more than 10 yards in front of him because of the fog. Or how trying to fly through a ring right above you is a Herculean task because the controls are so broken.
It's like...
I have literally...
This shit was like a bad tech demo that somehow got released.
Yeah, like, I have literally, in real life, steered ships that handle better than Superman handles in that game.
This is like... It's like even worse than Bubsy 3D.
Yeah, it is sub-Bubsy 3D. We didn't even talk about Bubsy 3D because compared to Superman 64, it's a freaking gem.
That polygons. Might be a little bit of a stretch.
No, it's not. That's how bad Superman... You don't understand how bad Superman 64 is. You have clearly not played it.
It's like Nickelback level bad.
No.
It's
like,
worse than Nickelback?
Like, it's like Danity Kane bad. It's like Aubrey O'Day judging Drag Race bad.
No.
It's awful.
And last, and certainly least...
Literally the very reason we're doing an episode on this episode this week.
We just have to say, on Game Buoy, we try to be a little left of center.
Yeah, we go for the weird opinions. We like sort of saying different things than what everyone else
that
says.
That said, this is clearly the worst game ever made in the history of games.
We're
ever.
Talking about... Landfills. No, we're talking about the E.T. game. Most of the copies of this game are now landfills because they're not even worth reselling. Like, we would get more value out of this cartridge by making a landfill out of it than we would by reselling it at a flea market
or something.
This
was the game so bad that it almost killed video games forever.
If not for Nintendo, maybe it would have.
That's why we are so pro-Nintendo.
But keep on keeping on. Talk about E.T.
You know, the thing about E.T. is that...
Did you own a copy of E.T.
I never even had an Atari.
Snap.
This is one of those situations where you being a few years older than me makes a big difference. NES was my first console.
Okay. I had a copy of E.T.
No way. Did you sell it?
No, it's probably in my closet right now.
No way. You have a copy of E.T. in your closet?
Almost certainly.
It's probably worth like $1 million.
No, because it's awful. I would probably have to pay someone else to take it off my hands.
Not even for a collectible purse.
It's not collectible. They made like millions of them and like 20 people bought it.
You were one of those people.
Yeah, I'm not proud. It's awful, it's broken, it's ugly. Basically everything we've complained about every game.
I love that the commercial was like
applies to that game.
I love how, have you seen the commercial for it? It's like, oh, real action sequences, and it shows him like jumping into the pit, which is ironically foreshadowing for what would happen to the game. Jumping into a pit.
Yeah, like I even remember playing it. Like there are times where you would not step on the pits on the screen, and like the game would put you in the pit. And it's like, girl, I did not even step in that pit. What are you doing?
Yeah.
So awful game, literally the worst. And you know, I think it's time to move on to sort of the rest of the show.
I would have to say about E.T. One more thing is that. You know, at the time, the market...
Oh, then I do have an interesting postscript to E.T.
The market was getting very oversaturated with lots of games.
It wasn't just E.T.'s fault. It was just the straw that broke the camel's back.
You know, I almost feel like we need to talk about, in a future episode, about the hardware side of things. And
I don't know if that's true, but maybe.
Yeah.
An interesting postscript to E.T. I was just reading the other day on an enthusiast site, maybe Gamasutra or something, that an enterprising programmer has basically fixed E.T. to be a game that can now be properly played. And supposedly, when running correctly, because, you know, the game was made in the first place by one man programming alone for 4 months.
That poor man. He probably lives in shame and hides from the world.
Well, and basically, I guess, his corporate overlords were just like, we need this game in 4 months, and your team is you. So he tried to make the best game he could. There was a lot of problems and errors, and it was broken. But supposedly, the game design concepts were pretty okay, and when running as intended, it's apparently not awful.
I kind of almost don't want to play it, because I just want to keep the version of history that has E.T. as a bad game.
I kind of want to know. I appreciate what you're saying, but I kind of want to know.
I mean, you've
know.
Already played it, so, I mean, you'd be able to understand.
And with that, I think it's time to wrap this up. And I just want to remark, you know, of course, Twilight Seen It gets a nod.
Speaking of movie-based games.
Well, yeah, but that and, you know, the vast majority of film adaptations are basically shooting fish in a barrel. There were a couple we discussed here tonight because we had strong feelings about them specifically. But in general, if you want to know what we think about, like, Total Recall for NES, like, yeah, you can just assume, and you'll be correct, we here at Game Boo, we think it's shit. Batman Forever for the SNES, shit. Back to the Future for NES, I mean, I kind of liked it because I was too young to know better, but in terms of design and shit, it's shit.
The one exception we have is Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, the game.
It's
great
not,
game.
It's not necessarily the one exception, but it's one of the exceptions that proves the rule.
And to be fair, that was you could argue that that was based on the comic book.
Well,
so.
It's really like an adaptation of them both. It's kind of neat that way. And yeah. Great soundtrack by Anna Monoguchi, whose new record is super good. And if you're into that sort of music, you should look into it.
Mm-hmm. So, rumor has it that we've got some rumors.
Rumor has it. Rumor has it. Rumor has it. Rumor has it.
So, we have two rumors for y'all today. First, there has been a Australian ratings board leak. Well, not so much a leak, but, you know, ratings sometimes pop up on these rating board sites, and that means that a publisher has submitted the game and paid to have said game rated. In this case, we are talking about the Mysterious Murasame Castle Famicom Disk System game. So far, of course, this game has only been released in Japan, but the game's main character has popped up in several games that have released in the US and EU territories, including he was a playable character in Samurai Warriors 3, which Nintendo published in the Western territories. Takamaru's Ninja Castle in Nintendo Land is based on this game, and if I'm being honest, I would have to say I feel like this is probably a sign that this character is either going to show up in Smash Brothers U,
yeah.
Or this game is going to get some sort of new game down the line, and that we're just going to get the classic on Virtual Console or something to sort of wet our whistles for it. You
I
know,
can
much
see it
in
happening.
The style of like Kid Icarus or what have you.
Kind of a surprising choice, but, I mean, cool. Definitely interesting to see them utilize the IP that they have.
Second off, Crash and the Boys has gotten an Australian release.
Speaking of Scott Pilgrim.
For Wii U Virtual Console. So that's very exciting. We here at the Game Boy Studios are, of course, a huge fan of all of the Kunio-kun games, of which
Kunio-kun.
Crash and the Boys is one. So please look forward to it. And those are our rumors for tonight. I think at this point, of course, it's time to talk about...
I said, hey, what's going on?
Can I go first? Because I don't have a lot to say. And
doing it, doing
have,
it,
like,
doing it well.
I've been playing more Persona 4. I'm pretty far into the game, about maybe 30 hours. So, I really like it. I'm a little drunk right now, but I think it might be the... one of the best JRPGs I've ever played in my life. I just really like the social links part of it. And
yeah,
you know,
I love social
at first,
links.
At first I was like, oh, I kind of want to get this dungeon over with because I want to get back to building my social links. But honestly, I like the dungeon crawling part of it. And, you know, I think I'm going to take a little break from it just because I don't want to... finish it quite yet, so next time I'll probably be talking about another game, but yeah, Persona 4, I'm a very big fan. Persona 4 Golden, to clarify, for Vita.
Excellent,
know?
Yeah.
So I'm glad that I own a Vita.
So I started off the week playing Mega Man Zero 2. I ran into a bug.
Oh, no.
While I was playing, and that kind of irritated me. I was able to recreate it 4 or 5 times, so I don't really understand how it slipped through QA. Especially since I'm playing on the Mega Man Zero Collection on DS. So, like, this has probably been QA'd a couple times.
Oops.
I got super frustrated because the level that I was bugging on is also super hard. Like, in a really, I would say, unfair way from a design perspective. So I've put it down, taken a break from my Mega Man Zero series replay to, I played Final Fantasy Crystal Chronicles My Life as a King, which is one of my secret favorite games of the last generation.
It was a really cute idea. Now, do you want to tell the listeners what you named your character?
Well, I named my town, I had said Butts yesterday, but it was actually Balls. You know, we were talking about this with, Jeremy from over at the Koopa Club and Renee from Koopa Club, and I had said Butts, but no, it was Balls. And so, yeah, everyone says things like, I love Balls. We need to protect Balls. Please teach me to be a better soldier so that I can make Balls better. And I love that game. You know, you basically are a little king with magic powers that has to create and manage a city. And I love it. I'm really into that sort of thing. With Final Fantasy jobs and what have you, so F yeah.
Yeah.
And a related note, the game that's really been taking up my time this week is yet another playthrough of Final Fantasy Tactics. This time I'm playing the War of the Lions release. I'm like 6 hours in, but because I grind so much, I haven't even done that awful Wygraph fight yet. If you're familiar with the game, you know what fight I'm talking about. Please wish me luck, because I'm coming up to it.
Is it the one with the rooftops?
No, that's, like, the second map on the game.
Yeah, I haven't played much of it.
Yeah, and then the last game that I played this week was the Marvel Heroes open beta. And I just need the game to come out, like, right now so I can play more.
Excellent.
I think that's it for what we've been playing this week. And it's time for us to talk about Smash or Trash! We're going to keep this quick because I just realized that we have been going on super long. It's already super late.
Are we already at a 2-hour point?
We're not at 2 hours yet, and we may yet cut off before 2 hours, but we are going to have to be diligent. So, I have 2 smashes for you this week. And no trashes, so that's always a very, very good thing.
So smash and smash.
Smash and smash. Polygon did a really, really great article.
They have really good features.
Gaming's New Frontier, Cancer, Depression, and Suicide. Basically talking about some of the serious issues being tackled in gaming these days.
Yeah.
We're going to link you on GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org.
Because I think it's super, super, super important that people sort of read articles like this, and really happy articles like this are getting written.
I mean, with 1UP gone, Polygon really is probably the best site out there.
I don't know that I agree with that, but I think when they do well, they do
well. Maybe aside from the site where this next Smash is from. But they're kind of on a whole different level for me.
Over on Gamma Sutra,
mm-hmm.
And there was a news event we didn't talk about because I wanted to talk about it specifically in the context of this article. This article is over on Gamma Sutra, and it's titled, All Your Nintendo Let's Plays Are Belong to Nintendo.
Cute title.
Yeah, it's cute. And basically, so Nintendo found all of the Let's Plays on YouTube for current Nintendo games. This is not for all games ever, but for their current Nintendo games, basically, if you do a Let's Play on YouTube or what have you, and you're making money on this, presumably, Nintendo is basically saying, like, nope, we're going to run a commercial before this so that we can make some money, because people are watching you play through our game in a non-promotional way. And we need to make a little bit of profit off that. Of course, a lot of people are upset. A lot of professional Let's Players. I'd like to take a moment and reflect on the fact that there are people whom, for a living, just play games.
Can I rant now or can I rant later?
You're not going to rant about this on the air while you're drunk. I think that you'd probably say some really inappropriate things.
I'm not going to say inappropriate things.
But basically, the problem is, you know, a lot of these people that do Let's Plays, that's like their income stream. Like, this is how they make a living.
Nintendo
is coming out after their livelihood by doing it.
Hashtag, look at your life, look at your choices. That's all I have to say. I'm sorry.
I don't really think you're in a... Okay. Whatever. So, I disagree with that. I really do think that Nintendo has a right to, you know, profit off of their own content. I don't make any money off of Game Buoy, but if I did, and then all of the people whom I talk about were like, yeah, you don't come up with original content, you just talk about our games. You need to give us some of those ad shares or something. I'd probably be like, yeah, I guess here you go. Because seriously, I didn't make this content.
I think the bottom line is that, you know, we're not professional Let's Players. We haven't actually done a Let's Play yet.
No, but please look forward to it. We're actually really seriously talking about doing a Game Buoy Let's Play. I think we have some really interesting ideas.
If we do a modern one, we'll be perfectly happy to let Nintendo run an ad before it.
Yeah, because seriously, I play games because I freaking love them.
And I think the point that we're trying to make here
is the way
that
I think most people love oxygen.
Is that, like, we do Game Buoy as a hobby, not to make money. And if we did a Let's Play, it would be as a hobby, not to make money, so...
And, you know, I want to clarify it, because I don't mean to sound like a Japanese otaku, like, hikikomori that's, like, judging people who are less nerdy than me. Like, I don't think it's, like, a boon to, like, oh, well, I'm comfortable doing this for free, and so you should be, too. Like, no, if you truly feel put out... And, like, you're not you feel like you should be able to make money this way and Nintendo's impeding you. I respect you making the choice not to do Nintendo Let's Plays anymore because you have to do what you have to do.
And I mean,
But I think it's really inappropriate to come after Nintendo as if they somehow don't have the right to do this.
Right.
Like, there's no part of licensing terms and conditions or even just buying games that entitles you. To show people huge parts of these games at no charge to said customers, just so that you can profit off of them. Like, oh, I bought this game, and I'm going to show you it so that I can make my money back that I spent on buying it.
I have two points I want to say. The first...
And this is even more true, and I will let you make your points, I'm just not finished yet. This, for me, is even more true in this current generation where presentation and story and all of this, things that can be spoiled, are a big point of why games are sold these days. Like, you're kidding yourself if you say that Bioshock Infinite, for example, didn't sell itself because of its story. So, I'm sure that the Let's Play cottage industry did some damage to that game's sales. I honestly, truly suspect that this cottage industry probably damages a lot of current generation games' sales. Of course, Let's Players feel that it's essentially free advertisement for these games companies. And I think that's cool, but ultimately I disagree with it. And I think that the content holders, as many issues as I might have with copyright laws, particularly in the U.S., I actually feel, even on just an artistic level, that the artist does have a right to profit off of sort of the use of their works.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to keep dragging you off. What were your two points you wanted to make?
Well, I remember one of them really well, and I'm going to have to see if I remember the other one, because I'm pretty wasted at this point.
Okay, go for it.
The one point that I do remember is that, you know, to play devil's advocate, I could understand that these people are like, oh, well, we don't have a choice, we're being forced to run ads if we have a Nintendo content, but, you know, yeah, I don't remember what my other point was, but I just have to say that, you know... the other point was that at least they didn't pull a Sega and just pull your videos offline. They're trying to support these people, but saying, you know, if you're going to show our current games, it's not even like if you're showing, like, Ice Climbers for NES. I don't think they would run a video, an ad on that. It's just for current games. It makes sense to me. So, you know... I mean, maybe you disagree with me, and I'm not trying to offend anyone out there who does a Let's Play, but I just feel like there's just been a really, like, volatile reaction to this that I just don't personally understand.
Yeah, I
also don't understand Let's Players, professional Let's Players, I mean, the whole idea of a professional YouTuber vlogger is kind of mind-boggling in itself.
So, well, to some level, I'm not going to judge other people for how they make a living. I wouldn't judge someone for being a prostitute. I'm not going to judge someone for being a professional Let's Player. It seems weird to me, but certainly...
It's not really even to shade the people who do it for a living. It's just I didn't really know that there was that much ad revenue to be made via YouTube.
Well, I mean, I assume if you're getting, you know, thousands of hits every day for an extended period of time, presumably that money would add up. I assume. I don't know, but I assume.
The thing is that there's a lot of Let's Plays out there, and a lot of them are that great.
I've seen some really bad ones. I typically have to watch them with the volume turned down because I'm not really here for the commentary.
Yeah.
But whatever, I shouldn't, you know, I don't mean to cast stones. Again, where you can do it, and if you're having fun, go for it, but at the same time, recognize you're making money off of someone
else's art.
Honestly,
if any of our listeners
kind of dicey.
If any of our listeners do Let's Plays, they probably do great ones.
I have to say, first off, if any of our listeners do Let's Plays, please link us. We will not shade you, or I think that would be really
fascinating.
You know,
the guys over at...
And second, I'd really like to talk to you about that experience, so please reach out to us if you'd feel comfortable talking to us for maybe just like a 15-minute online chat, because I would love to hear about that process. I'm interested in doing one myself, and I just think it would... It seems
Is
like it would be really fun. No, although now that you've said that, yes.
Look forward to it. No, I was just going to say that the guys over at Nergasm Network are doing their yearly challenge, which I unfortunately, when I was a guest on their show, said I was like going to do one, but kind of didn't. Sorry, guys. But the point is, they have been blogging about their games, and, you know, I don't think they do Let's Plays, but, like, those are guys who I could see, like, their Let's Plays being... Because, like, I noticed Wicked specifically has done a lot of chronicling of his games that he's been playing, and, you know, he has legit things to say. I enjoy reading his posts, so, yeah. But the point is, good article on Kama Sutra.
It really sort of looks at the various laws and legalities of both sides of this. That's the reason why this, to me, is a smash article. It's very good. It's what people out there that are generating content should aspire to, because it's sort of nonpartisan. It's very pro both sides. Like, this is the situation. This is the expectation. Now, what do you think?
Yeah, and I mean, the reason why I said that Polygon is probably the best out there now that 1UP's gone is because I almost look at Kama Sutra as almost like an academic journal for gaming.
Yeah, totes. Well, you know, Game Developer Magazine, that's basically those guys.
Yeah, so... Well done, as always, Kama Sutra. So, with that, we're wrapping up. Are we past the 2-hour mark yet?
No, we're at 1:50, so let's...
Oh, wow, let's keep it going, if it's more than 10 minutes.
Yeah, we might be able to keep it under 10
minutes.
If it's
more than 10 minutes, someone's gonna get smacked, so...
It'll be you.
Let's go on to those social links.
This week, we did, in fact, have a question of the week. This week, a look at the occasionally amusing world of bad games. What objectively bad game do you love? What's the worst game you've ever played?
We got some replies, both on Facebook, actually. No tweets this week. So
feel free to tweet, Feel free to answer this in the future, and we will still include you next week, because we love y'all.
You're taking up some of our 10 minutes. We got a response from Conrad H. from California. Conrad's such a cool name.
He really said,
Sonic Adventure 7. Now, for those who don't know what Sonic Adventure 7 is, it is a pirate game for the Game Boy Color.
Conrad, you are my kind of man.
Yeah, way to dip into these pirate games. You know, we really need to have a pirate game episode. Not like pirating games.
We do, but now do you want to talk about biting into our 10 minutes?
Well, I'm going to be quick with this next one. Speaking of Nergasm Network, from our friend Wicked, which I just have to say a little disclaimer, and I'm talking really fast, so it's not cut into our 10 minutes, but without Wicked, we probably would not even be sailing on the SS Game.
We
so
100%
you,
for sure would not be doing a podcast.
So Wicked from the Nergasm Network said, a lot of people say the Dynasty Warrior series is bad, just being mindless button mashers. I've heard that, yeah. But I cannot get enough of them. They actually have some strategy in the battles if you intend on completing the special goals, or if you intend to even pass some of the later levels. I actually do get engrossed in the Three Kingdoms story, and I cannot wait to play 8 to see the what-if scenarios. So, okay. You know, Dynasty Warriors is not my favorite, but good for you, Wicked. Own it. Worst game, without question, Rise of the Robots. The less said about that piss poor controlling, weak music ed. I don't know what that means, sorry. No storied fighting abomination. Oh, weak music. Okay, weak music.
I'm shaking my head. Let the record show I'm shaking my head.
No storied fighting abomination, the better. So, thank you for your feedback, Wicked. And
now we're at our standard listener feedback section.
This first one is from, both of our other feedbacks are from Koopa Club, Koopa Kids.
Yay, we love you guys.
The first one's from Renee over on the Koopa Club podcast. Did I say plobcast?
I believe you did.
It's actually kind of a follow-up to our, it's kind of an answer to our previous question of the week. It's actually kind of just a response to last week's.
Oh my god, continue.
He said, the first rule of Street Fighter the movie the game is you do not talk about Street Fighter the movie the game. The second rule of Street Fighter the movie the game is you do not talk about Street Fighter the movie the game.
Didn't he comment twice on that? Because there was a third rule. And
was there a third rule?
I included it here on our feedback, but it was like the punchline that was super good.
Oh, I done goofed.
Renee, special message just for you. The captain is my favorite character.
I done goofed. Twitter user fixyourface 0814, better known as the wonderful Jeremy from the Koopa Club podcast, said, so I'm a bit late catching up on the GameBuoy.org podcast. Sue me.
We might. Do you do Let's Plays?
Do you do Shining Force videos that we're going to have to take down?
Well, with that, my friends, it's time to wrap it up.
Thank you, Jeremy, for listening and catching up, especially with those 3-hour episodes.
And thank you, Renee. And thank you to
Wicked and
Wicked
Conrad and all
Conrad
of our listeners.
All of our listeners. We effing love you, despite any and all difference in creed, race, sexual orientation.
Or Assassin's Creed.
Regardless of who or where you are, we adore you. Thank you so much for spending time listening to us. We deeply appreciate it.
We love your feedback.
That having been said, please give us your feedback because we love it. Your iTunes subs and ratings/reviews are always very useful.
You know, just do a search on iTunes for Game Buoy. You might also turn up a Horde House podcast in the search results because I don't know.
We also appreciate your Facebook likes.
At facebook.com/GameBuoy.
We effing love Twitter.
GameBuoy.org, DOTORG.
Also, we have a Tumblr. We got a Tumblr.
GameBuoy.tumblr.org. Com. GameBuoy.tumblr.com.
We also have a Google Plus.
We have a Google Plus, yes.
You can also email us, links to which you will find over on our home base at GameBuoy.org.
GameBuoy.org. You know, we appreciate that people have many different ways to listen to the podcast, but we always recommend you go straight to the source at GameBuoy.org, where you always find our complete archive of episodes and links in every single post to the news articles.
We try to link the source to each and every one of the things that we talk about on this show, so... of course, if you want more information on any of the things we bring up, please peruse that list, and it'll guide you straight.
Without having shout outs. Said,
I would like to do my shout-outs. As ever and always, I want to shout-out to Koopa Club. If you like what we do, then you really, really, really need to check these guys out. They're great. I love what they do. They are the ones who inspired us to do a drunk cast, which they so successfully did just a few weeks ago.
And they love Nintendo.
They love Nintendo, yeah.
And they just love being mean.
That's what
I love.
That's one of my favorite things about those guys. I think I'm even going to show up on their show at some point in the immediate future
to talk
about a classic Nintendo
game. That's awesome. I really love those guys. They're great. You know who else I love?
I want to talk about Orange Lounge Radio a little bit, where every gamer has a voice.
Just kidding.
And from whom we take ever so many of our cues. And of course, you know that show is run by Rob Roberts, with whom we have previously shared screen/airtime. Being
Internet
catty
legend.
Hoes to one another on Reading is Fundamental, the seasonal show where we sip tea and dish dirt on Logo's highest rated drag queen competition reality show, RuPaul's Drag Race.
Gentlemen, start your engines. You know,
of course,
season's
it's now
over.
Off the air for the season.
So we've got like 9 episodes or something.
you have like 9 hours plus to listen to us just basically be awful to each other, and presumably next season we'll probably do something for it.
Maybe, so, we'll see.
Please look forward to it. Oh, girl, we'll do something. Anyway, you have some shout-outs.
I want to take you to a game bar! The podcast that fills your brain space with hours of gay video game commentary.
I just want to point out that he is shouting out to Game Bar, which is spelled G-A-Y-M-E. Yeah, because the way he said it, which was awesome, because, you know, I also love that band, Electric Six.
Yep.
But, you know, you didn't say their name super well.
Nerdgasm Network, the wildest, raunchiest, and naughtiest,
put in you,
dirtiest, and sexiest 3 hours of shock jock video game radio that you will ever come across, baby. If you are a World of Work,
slutty up in her.
Go, we have 2 minutes.
If you like World of Warcraft, you can go to the best little whorehouse in Azeroth, the place for World of Warcraft news, but never too seriously. You can listen to Girls Gone Wild, where you can get a female's perspective on the world's most popular MMO. And as ever, as always, last but not least, we'd like to shout out to Video Game Outsiders, the podcast about video gaming from the average player's perspective. And you know, we're coming up on that June deadline for when Zelda Reorchestrated goes offline.
Oh no!
As much as Captain Spike did a silly reaction to that, we're actually really sad because we love our theme music. We know that a lot of you love our theme music. And, you know, so please go support them. If you like what they do, go give them a donation on PayPal, because it's really sad to see this labor of love be going away. And with that, thank you for listening. Stay classy, stay listening, stay thinking, stay drinking.
As ever and always, we appreciate your time spent with us. Keep thinking.
Keep drinking.
Keep thinking. Keep drinking. Most importantly, keep gaming. Stay cool. And easy come, easy go.
Scene. Get everybody all stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Baby,